Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
I have with me today Mike Semmons, who is well known locally here as an all-around good guy. He is the CEO of InPrimis and the chairman of the board of the Western Cyber Exchange. Now Mike's going to tell us about that and what that is. I hope to hear that because I don't have a good understanding of it either. So Mike, welcome today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So Mike, give us your background. Tell the listeners, you know, what you do. We're talking about cybersecurity. You're very much in the trenches here. So give us the background of what you do, how you got there, how you got that all-around good guy title.
You're not gonna let that one go.
No, we're gonna go with that one. But anyway, give us your background, Mike.
Okay, I grew up mostly in Colorado. My family's my dad's family goes back in Colorado to the Gold Rush era and that sort of thing. And so, but he was in the Army and moved around the world in my early years, and we settled here. And I went through school, through Colorado State University and the engineering curriculum, then took off and went to the East Coast to work for a company called BDM International and in Virginia. And I was with them 21 years, as it turned out. I started in, while I was in graduate school, looking for a way to pay for graduate school, and ended up working there 21 years. BDM was a government contractor. Initially, as I grew in the company, my job became one of diversifying the business, and I took BDM from 100% DOD contractor to contracting in the energy area. We were leaders in alternative energy. We led the way in state and local government, IT business, outsourcing. We did a lot of work in manufacturing.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
4 or 5 years ago, we started looking at this enabling technology, and we're very concerned about cybersecurity because the enabling technology was taking manufacturing to a whole new era, energy, the smart grid had great promise, and so forth and so on. And it became very obvious that none of it would happen if we could not secure the networks that these new technologies were happening on. And so we first set up a division called the Center for Information Age Transformation. And we intended that to be kind of thought leaderships coming together.
I'm trying to put that acronym,
CIAT is what we call it, C-I-A-T, we call it CIAT.
The CIAT, okay.
And you know, it was kind of like, you know, let's get organized, let's get the thought leaders together. What do we need to do here? And very quickly, that evolved into Western Cyber Exchange, because the first thought that came out of these meetings is cybersecurity or cyber threats are asymmetric. And and you have to have intelligence and know what's coming at you to effectively counter an asymmetric threat.
So is WCX a threat intelligence sharing platform?
It is a cyber threat information sharing platform.
Okay.
That's what we are today. And that's how we got there. We realized this needs to happen. People need to have real-time awareness of what threats were coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we call it the exchange. We needed a place.
So are you connected with like the Styx, Taxi, Cybox? We, you have a platform that...
We are in many ways, yes. WCX has now become an official information sharing and analysis organization called an ISAO.
Okay.
And we have a CRADA, Cooperative Research and Development Agreement with the Department of Homeland Security.
What does that mean? I've heard and actually read an article about your agreement, and I'm not exactly sure what that does for either Homeland Security or WCX, and you know what information is shared.
Under the executive order, I'll forget the number, so I won't try to say it, but there's been a number of executive orders that have come out and a number of PPDs. PPD 21 called for securing the critical infrastructure.
And that's the presidential directive, right?
Presidential policy directive, and then executive orders, EOs. They call for the Department of Homeland Security to figure out how to share information. Mm-hmm. In regarding cyber threats, and it's not easy. DHS has been working at it a while. We've been working at it 4 years, and we're now starting to make significant progress. We receive alerts. We go on to their secure web pages to gather data.
So is there a physical lab here in the Springs?
We have a data center.
Mm-hmm.
It is right now housed in the back of my offices, in Primus offices, and is about to be moved down to a data center where our members can access it and utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it can be very, very secure.
So how many member organizations, are you allowed to say that, are involved with this?
We have, we're at a stage, going back to history, I'll explain it. We had about 30 organizations sign a founding document that, mm-hmm. that we would set this up. We are now going out for the official drive. We distribute to 2,000 organizations and individuals.
All in the regional area, or
yeah,
how
yeah.
far is the reach?
Throughout Colorado and New Mexico, but most in Colorado.
Okay.
At this point, over the last year and a half, well, let me say 2 years, we have been working on developing the technical capability, like the ISAO. We have a member forum that members can come on to, and there'll be a library, there'll be posting of threats. We have the ability to send out alerts if there's an imminent threat or something we feel people need to know about.
Is this kind of a manual process right now, where there's a keeper of a database, or is it through a...
It's a combination. We are in the process of... receiving, they call it the AIS, Automated Information Sharing Program, and we're a couple days away from being able to receive threat information from DHS, from the NCIC, through directly in an automated fashion, and that's going to help a lot. As far as from there, we don't automatically send anything out. The threats we send as alerts will have to be screened. We don't want to have a bunch of false positives. We will post all threats in the forum. Members will be able to go on there anytime. We have a mobile app, so you'll be notified whenever there's new postings. You can access it on your mobile app. You can access it on your PC.
So if we're just kind of stepping back to see who is it that's interested in this? If I am a person who works for a company, is it something that I'd be involved with? Or are you kind of only really talking to IT managers or CIOs at companies?
I think everyone needs to be interested in this. Now, the management folks need to be part of it. They need to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
The IT folks clearly need to be engaged. And I think beyond that, the cyber citizen needs to be engaged at some level. Even if it's a member company asked us to put on a class for some of their employees, that's an engagement and probably an appropriate engagement. So, and we intend to reach out to all these folks. So we've described the iSound, the information sharing, and how we get the information out. We also, the other thing I ought to add is when you become a professional member, we have lower level members, but professional or corporate member, you will receive a WCX email account and you will receive a license to an Apseo dispatch technology. Apseo is a Colorado startup company.
Mm-hmm.
They have developed an encryption software for emails, which is excellent. And we've made a deal that we will provide this to the members. So if we need to send a confidential message, we have ways of doing it. It's fully encrypted. It's fully secured. And it also gives Apseo exposure, which we want to do. We want to bring business into this organization. It's a business league, and we're trying to benefit businesses and grow businesses.
So give us some examples of how are you growing businesses? Do you have a plan for, 20 businesses can grow into this area? How are you doing?
We're not recruiting per se or anything like that. We leave that to the economic development offices. What we're trying to do is first try to raise the security level of the environment. Mm-hmm. That's good for business. It's good for the government. We've got a lot of government tenants here. It's important with all the BRAC and other budget decisions that get made. It's important that they feel good and they feel welcome and they feel secure here. So all that's business development in an indirect sense. Beyond that, we want WCX to be a mechanism for businesses to meet other businesses, to meet government customers, to work with...
Do you have a forum or a monthly meeting or what kind of a...
We are working up to that, and that's if I could describe the history, we went from all these conferences, which were held at a pretty hectic rate, to going internal to develop the technology, and now we're going external again, and we'll have at least quarterly get-togethers, probably more frequent than that. We had a meeting we called the forum, and it was. And we want to have a number of these things where management gets together, IT leadership gets together, etc.
How does somebody get involved with this?
Well, they join WCX and they become either part of the program or they can join these forums and committees as they're formed. But this is important. This is the physical forums that we're talking about. If people come together, go into a conference room, close the door, and they can talk about problems. Have you seen this? What'd you do about that? What worked for you on this? What did you have problems with? Or you can come to the meeting and say, I've got a major problem. Can anyone help me? And what's said in the room stays in the room. And mm-hmm. Those were hugely popular, and we want to bring those back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, Bocor has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, Bocor is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BoCor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BoCor.com. BoeCore.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So I've been on a lot of these international standards groups where, you know, people get together to talk, and there's a, you know, there's a lot of interest in the topic of cybersecurity, and it draws great crowds. But then what? You know, what's down the road? Is there a return on investment? What are people getting? What are they going towards? What's the ultimate objective here that makes this either an industry, an ecosystem that supports itself, that has funds itself? Because really, I mean, I've been the efforts I've been a part of were funded by the federal government, and when the money ran out, they just quit holding meetings, they quit holding whatever, and people went away. So how do we get to a point where, you know, this local area wants to be about cybersecurity? How do we make it a model that's self-supporting?
It's got to be, first of all, part of the culture. People need to talk about it and accept it, and then we can, there's a number of programs that can go forward. Zurich did a study, by the way, on the relative cost of securing cyber assets or assets to the cyber domain, and the benefits gained in both new business developed from cyber and those businesses that are now able to develop because they have a secure environment. And the pluses far outweigh the minuses or the cost.
What does WCX looking at for its model?
We have a membership model. We'll have selected services for fees, and we will pursue grants. We'll pursue grants in both research and education. Quick caveat, we're not competing with people who are in the education business. We want to partner with them, but we will, like the cyber citizen, we will identify the gaps of what industry says it needs, and we will help to fill the gaps if no one else is doing it. If someone's doing it, we will help them expand their program or get, you know, linked with the industry or so forth. But that's what we're doing, and of course that's one of the selected fees for services. You take a certification class from us.
Then what certifications do you offer right now?
Right now we offer the Cyber Citizen. We intend to get the CompTIA's, so A plus, Sec plus, Net plus, and we want to be able to do CISSP. And so forth and so on.
So you're gonna partner with those organizations that sponsor those, and run the courses and offer the sort of, you know, help and support
beyond,
with it.
Beyond that, there's, you know, we already are licensed to proctor for CompTIA on selected classes, and we have to have, we can teach classes. We're capable of teaching the classes with the right instructors, so we can do it right now. But there's others that are doing that as well. Mm-hmm. And WCX is not going to compete with folks as a nonprofit. We're here to kind of fill the gaps and pull
people
together.
So you are a nonprofit.
Together.
I don't think we mentioned that earlier.
We are a nonprofit.
WCX is a nonprofit and looking to further cybersecurity, but not compete with anybody in training, is
correct.
What you're saying.
Correct. We don't want to compete with business, and we don't want to compete with other, you know, universities. We want to partner with them and do what we can do make the entire program better and to make sure that the industry is getting what they need. Right now, industry is not. Mm-hmm. There's a huge shortage in total, And what universities tend to put out are obviously degreed professionals, which are needed, but we also need certifications, we need paraprofessionals, we need technicians, and this is an area that
So you have a company, you're in Primus,
right.
And are you having a hard time finding people to hire for your company?
Yeah. Qualified cyber folks.
What skill sets are you looking for?
Well, they are many, and we kind of go by the DoD 8500 requirements that define positions. But let me kind of talk this way. You know, I often quip that if you don't understand the cyber threat, you're just an IT guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. But in fact, it's the IT guys that are going to bring the operational solutions to cyber security to bear. So they're very important folks. So we go out and look for folks with a sound IT background, whether it's in networks, whether it's in industrial controls, or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times we have to bring them up to speed on cyber, the cyber threat, the nature of the cyber threat, and the nature of cyber defenses, and so forth and so on. That's very doable, and I think, in truth, we're going to do that across the board, but we're going to need more qualified IT folks. We're going to need more qualified IT folks who truly understand the cyber threat. And when you become a cyber professional, you really, in my mind, you encompass both. And it's going to be the IT guys that implement it. So we need to get that program set up, and we need everything from PhDs down to micro degrees, certifications, mm-hmm. experience levels, and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, well, we're hearing that across the board. A lot of people talking about education. A lot of people saying there isn't enough people. It always interests me to hear, though, that the definition of what they need is so different that it's hard to put a finger on how to train people and what to train them for, and people coming in and saying, well, what do I want to take in cybersecurity, to know what to study so that they're valuable in the market. That's the difficult thing, I think.
Well, people try to make cyber a thing by itself.
You don't think it is?
It's not. It's not. It rides in on somebody else's horse, if I could put it that way. You're in an office IT environment. You're in a manufacturing OT environment. You're in a energy producing, energy transmitting OT environment. The smart grid's an OT environment.
So you don't think that
control of offices are OT environment.
An overreaching thing that...
Well, there's a lot of overlap and there's a lot of commonality, but there's also a lot of difference. And so what we're going to need to do is have people who are, let's look at the factory of the future. That has many, many different parts. That has, you know, the file transfer, the machine language, the designs. You've got IP. You've got all this kind of stuff, and you need many different IT types. You need a lot of manufacturing people working with that, and control specialists, and you need people who understand cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go in the office, same thing. When you go into utilities.
So maybe if we look at cybersecurity, it should be taught across the whole business and from a business standpoint.
Well, I think it's, you know, there are some fundamentals. You know, like when I went through engineering school, you know, the first couple of years you're going through the core curriculum, and then you branch off and decide whether you're going to study EE or ME, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's an analogy here where you need you know, your basic IT background in the application area that you're going to be in, and then you're going to add on to that the cybersecurity capability that you need to bring into it. You know, and, some guy pontificating at headquarters is not going to secure a distribution point in a utility grid. They don't know anything about it, and so it's going to have to be people who build them, who use them, who run them, who understand the security, and that's where we have to take it. There's cybersecurity is in everything. It's in a hospital. It's in a retirement home. It's, you know, there was one guy that people were saying, why do we care about industrial controllers who are sitting in an office? He went out, it was a large office in Washington, D.C. He came back and he said, the number of industrial controllers running this building is 50,000. And people have no clue. And every one of those is an access point, has to be considered a vulnerability for cybersecurity. So cybersecurity is something that rides on anything that uses IT, whether you have drones, whether you have unmanned aerial vehicles, satellites. You've got an IT network running to these guys, every one of them, and you're going to have to secure them.
Yeah.
And so cybersecurity goes wherever digits go.
Well, I like your analogy. I guess we could go on forever about, you know, all the places cyber is. But one thing I kind of want to leave you with, last question here. If we're looking at the local Colorado Springs effort and you're familiar with everything going on here, what recommendations would you give to, one, the people that are leading this effort, and then, two, people to get involved with it?
I've made a number of recommendations from personnel to be involved, organization and so forth and so on. And, you know, right now it's difficult to say because they're in a planning process and not much is known about them. But I'll share this. At one of the early meetings, I made the point, this is an opportunity for Colorado Springs, who has suffered historically from silos, from people not cooperating a lot of diversified interest, which is not constructive in my mind. But this is an opportunity to bring people together and to integrate them. And there's a lot of small businesses, and small businesses don't bring the big budgets of big businesses do, but they bring a lot of ideas. And more importantly, they bring the future growth, which Colorado Springs wants. This needs to be an inclusive process. It needs to integrate the folks who have been doing efforts. There's a lot of cybersecurity in Colorado already.
Mm-hmm.
In the Boulder, Denver area, Optiv is $1.5 billion. LogRhythm is a very successful company. We've got a number of companies, my company, Ed Rios and CSOC, Jeff Beaupre and Colorado Networks, Route 9B. There's a number of small companies here that have been working those for years, not the weeks that the governor's been in planning, but years. And they need to be included, and others need to be invited in. We need a big tent. Needs to be organized, but I hope this is the new effort that successfully integrates Colorado Springs within Colorado Springs and integrates it with the rest of the state. If it doesn't do that, then I fear it'll be short-lived, and I hope it's hugely successful, but if it just ends up going to a couple big firms or a couple this or that, and it's not inclusive, and it's a perception of the small businesses that are important, then we will have really wasted an opportunity.
Okay. So now out to people to get involved. What should people get involved with?
Well, we need a construct. We need a construct to be made public, and that construct needs to have a clear path. How do they get involved? What is the center? What are the programs? What are the educational programs? What can they do for small businesses? If they're not talking to small businesses on what they need or what they would like to have, they're obviously not going to have those. But you know what small businesses need usually are access, ways of partnering, programs to get involved with. Things to kind of bolster the company as it's trying to get its technology out. And then when the technology is ready for prime time, being able to network in a way, a meaningful way, that they can reach the market, that they can reach finance support people, whether it be, you know, angels or VC or otherwise, organizing grants from the government for research and development, for economic development. These are all programs that will be important to businesses, and I, you know, maybe the single most important thing is to recognize them for what they've done and what they're achieving, and how they are contributing, or at least trying to contribute, to the future of Colorado. And you know, it's that is the kind of thing, and you know, that doesn't rule out the big guy, mm-hmm. It doesn't rule out the government, but all the cyber programs I know of today go from government entity to government entity. Industry needs to get involved, and here's an opportunity to do it. It hadn't happened anywhere else. And that's my hope and dream that happens here.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Mike, and I appreciate all your input, and I hope that we get to that point, because I'd like to see Colorado grow as well and bring in all those things together. But thanks a lot for joining today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Sure. Have a great day.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.